The Nemeth Narratives is a collection of stories infused with delightful and insightful thoughts, punctuated with side trips to the fear and anxiety that often challenges many of us in moving forward towards our goals, our dreams, our successes. This is a collection of stories narrated by the authors that take us through their personal journeys intermingled with the roller coaster ride of emotions. For some, it's the first time they've shared, and it started with one thought. Everyone has a story. Our collection of stories began as the participants coaxed their creativity out over plates of comforting Filipino food. Through the sounds of joyful sharing, Alicia, that's me, Emma and Benito explained the concept of using community-friendly platform, a podcast, so that this group of younger generation artists and creatives in San Diego could share their journeys of hope.
It was not an easy process. It took several months of self-exploration and intuitive storytelling by each of our subjects before they each settled on a topic and allowed themselves to hear their own voice and share them with us, the audience. The culmination of self and group growth led us to our first collaboration, the Nemeth Narratives. We thank and honor our storytellers for allowing us to accompany them on their journey. And the following artists are Adrian Pangilinan, Alexis Julio, Isabel Adamos, Jessica Mercado, Kayla Galang, Marian Aguas, Marisa Rojas, Martha Gators, Pauline Scully, Seth Dasho, and Trixie Adiao. The Nemeth Narratives is funded by the Alexander and Eva Nemeth Foundation and done in partnership with the San Diego Filipino Cinema, a San Diego-based nonprofit. The project is led by the wonderful Alicia De Leon Torres, a creative writer and the deputy director of the Nemeth Foundation, Emma Francisca Bautista, an award-winning independent film producer, and me, Benita Bautista, an independent film director.
My name is Pauline Scully, and I am a video producer and short filmmaker living in Southern California. The title of this podcast is I Am Magic Too.
Eldest of Lola Marta's 15 grandchildren. It goes without saying that we, of course, would not be here if it weren't for Lola. But we also are who we are because of Lola. I've been able to watch my siblings and my cousins grow up to be who they are now. And I've been able to spend so much more time with them recently. And as I look in their faces, I see and feel a little bit of Lola in each one of them. I see her wittiness, her boldness, and her bravery. I see her love for music and love for drawing and creativity. I see her spunk and tenacity. And I see her smile and I feel her warmth when I'm with them. I'm so grateful that we are able to be here together to celebrate Lola's life and all that she's done for us. And being together is how we're going to get through this very tough time in our lives. And though time will pass and the pain will subside, our memories of Lola will always be there, and that is what we can hold on to forever. Thank you again, everyone, for taking the time to be with us. And Lola, I will miss your wonderful smile and your warm laugh. Thank you so much for bringing our family joy. Please say hi to Lola for us. And we love you so much, Lola.
2019, my dad's mother, my Lola Marta, passed away. Lola Marta was a big part of my life. She and Lola Chodi helped take care of me when I was very little, when my dad was off doing Navy things and my mom off doing accounting things. I was the first grandchild on both sides of the family, so you can guess I was incredibly spoiled, to say the least. Throughout my life, she was at every birthday party, every holiday party, every big event. She was a constant. So naturally, when she passed, it was a very painful experience for all of us. But what was unique to my personal grieving started a little bit before she passed. My Lola never had an issue speaking English. Yes, she had a heavy Filipino accent, of course, but it was easy enough to understand. When we talked, she spoke English or Tagalog to me, and I would respond in English. And this is how we conversed for as long as I can remember. We never had an issue communicating. As she got older, she had a harder time speaking English. And unfortunately, I could not speak Tagalog, only understand it mostly. Conversations became much shorter, less lively, and more shallow. But it was okay. She was still there at every birthday party, every holiday party, every big event. Maybe the conversations were shorter, but at least I could still ask her how she was, and she could tell me. Briefly, of course, and that was okay. We still tried. But near the end of her life, communicating became almost non-existent. She mainly spoke Tagalog, and she could only speak in barely a whisper, in shorter phrases. And it would be this time that I would learn something about my Lola. Something I had somehow gone almost 30 years into my life never finding out. I grew up very religious. Catholic, of course. Everyone in my family was Catholic and everything revolved around God. I remember trying so hard to believe like everyone did. I went to church every Sunday, stood when I was supposed to stand, sat when I was supposed to sit, prayed when I was supposed to pray. I tried to feel God around me through tough times and good times, but after all that effort, it just never felt right. And then I was left feeling like there was something wrong with me. I would feel guilt and shame. Why can't I connect to this as easily as my family does? I should just try harder, right? Pray more. That's it. I also grew up very uncomfortable in my brown skin. I very much assimilated into American culture and whiteness and shut out anything that had to do with being Filipino. I wanted nothing to do with that part of me and wished every day I could just be one of the light-skinned Filipino Americans. It's very strange to me now. I was so proud of rejecting Filipino culture and wore it like a badge. I kept telling myself that I had nothing connecting me to them. It was very toxic, and I had no idea who I really was. I just wanted to conform and fit in with everyone else. I was so young and very much lost. Naturally, as I got older, I found myself less aligned with the practices of Catholicism and more interested in spirituality. I always felt a deep connection to everything and everyone around me. I'm known to be an empathetic and intuitive person. A lot of people used to tell me I'm an old soul. I was always able to read people before I got to know them, or I'd be able to predict things by feeling in my stomach. It's been that way for a long time. But this wouldn't be something I explored until my mid-20s, and was something I didn't even begin to nurture until my 30s. What's interesting to me is as I started having more interest in spirituality, I still didn't look into Filipino culture practices. I looked into Wicca, paganism, and other forms of religion that were clearly not connected to the Philippines. I never thought that I could have any sort of spiritual connection that aligned with my roots. It was never a thought that even entered my mind. I was still very much struggling to welcome Filipino culture into my life. There was a lot of regret I had for not learning more Tagalog. I had many opportunities to learn while living with my family or even at all the family gatherings or the Filipino channel being on in the background all the time. But again, because I rejected anything Filipino, I told myself, well, at least I can understand it. That's good enough. That regret became very strong when communicating with Lola Marta began getting complicated. I remember telling myself I should go take a Tagalog class. But what did I do? I ended up taking American Sign Language classes and a Japanese class. I even remember thinking, learning Tagalog right now isn't going to help me do anything. But it would have absolutely helped me when I found out, later in Lola's life, during the time that communication was near non-existent, this is when I would learn that she was a well-known faith healer in the Philippines, in the city where my dad and his siblings grew up. A faith healer, or albularyo, is a folk doctor commonly found in the more rural areas of the Philippines who heals people using herbs and traditional practices. I had no idea, especially since she was a devout Catholic. When I learned about this, which naturally happened at one of those big family gatherings I was talking about, I had so many questions. I instantly thought about this intuitive nature I've always had, or feeling a deep connection to everyone and everything around me. Was that something that could be connected to Lola's faith healing abilities? Questions flooded my mind. So I asked them, right then and there. My cousins and I circled around Lola and asked her to tell us the stories. But she struggled to tell them. The language barrier and her difficulty getting through sentences made it impossible to understand anything she was saying. It was heartbreaking. I started to ask my family as many questions as I could, but it was hard. They could only remember so much. At that moment, I wanted more than anything to learn more about her and from her. This could be the missing piece that could finally motivate me to welcome my Filipino roots and culture with open arms. Something I struggled with my whole life. This could answer the question as to why I was just naturally intuitive and empathetic. But I had lost my chance. Because now she's gone. And I can't get those stories anymore. When I learned that Lola Marta had been a faith healer, it really got me thinking more and more about my own spirituality. So I started to explore what practices and beliefs resonated with me. What made me feel whole? What made me feel more connected and alive? What strengthens my connection with myself and with the earth beneath us? I would spend a few years just exploring until the day that Lola finally passed. And I would spend a lot of time working through all my regrets and shame. All the should-haves and could-haves. It wouldn't be until the following year that I would start to transform those regrets into hope. The year after Lola passed, I had finally started my journey of learning to love my brown skin. I was looking to join more spaces with people who look like me. I can't even remember how I stumbled upon this specific event, but I was definitely in the right place at the right time. I joined an online event where I would be able to listen to a modern-day Filipino faith healer speak about her experiences with healing and her ability to channel messages from the spirit realm. She even shared her gift with some of us during the event. I was able to be one of the people to receive a short reading from her, which led to a longer, more personal reading at a later time. And then it hit me. My Lola Marta is gone from this earth, yes. And yes, her stories are gone from this earth as well. But what if I can connect to her through other faith healers? Find the stories of faith healers today or past ones. And maybe through the process, I could explore more about myself and my own spirituality and reconnect with the spirit of my Lola and my ancestors before her. With any loss, it's easy to sit in that pain and grief, set up camp, and stay indefinitely. And I thought that's what would have happened when my Lola passed, especially if I believed her stories were gone and lost. But losing her actually opened up a new path of discovery for me. It encouraged me on my journey to finding comfort in my own skin. My connection to my spirituality is already deeper than it has ever been. My sense of self is more strong and confident. This grounded energy has allowed me to heal and grow in ways I thought I could never do. And though I have more work to do on myself, I have hope that I'll get there. Because I now have a better understanding of who I am. I learned that the magic of Filipino faith healing is directly in my blood. So, if that's true, then I must believe I am magic too.